The name's Reginald Illingworth. I was born in 1932 in August. I was born in Woodlesford, and after my father was killed, I was taken to live with my grandmother at number 10 Ida Terrace in Sturton, and my uncle Ernest, who was in his teens at the time, my grandmother sent him to Woodlesford and he picked me up, and according to what I've been told, that he carried me all the way from Woodlesford in his arms to place me in my grandmother's arms, where I stayed until I was roughly 13 years old.
So your Uncle Ernest came to get you the day after the explosion, by the sound of it?
I would imagine it'd be either the same day or the day after, but I think it was the same day where they were told, I was told.
And what's your earliest memory of being told anything about what had happened to your father?
Well, I was always told he was killed down the pit, but the family never talked about it. It was a bit of a mystery to me until I got older and I learned little bits just coming in dribs and drabs. I understood my father was a non-smoker and a non-drinker, and he was very handy at doing things with his hands. That's as much as I knew about my father until the later years.
And did you see photographs of him?
I saw photographs of him, and I had a rabbit, a little blue rabbit that he'd bought me, and I cherished that for years. And also, there was one of his shoes that I would never let anybody get rid of. I kept that. I've always had a longing to belong to my dad, but I know nothing about him, really, you know. My mother was Alice Mildred Sybottom. She had been born at Darton, near Barnsley, where my great-grandfather had lived. And when she came to Sturton, she met my father when she was around about 20 years old. She was a seamstress by trade. She never married again until later on in life. My father, from what I can understand, he lived up Rotherleigh. My grandma and grandfather Illingworth lived up there, and all the family lived up there at that time. And my father left home when he started saving up to get married to my mother and went to live with Aunt Aggie. Then when they got married, my mother and father went to live with Aunt Aggie. I can remember my mum taking me to see them when I was a very small child. They're very nice people, I know that. I used to think a lot about them, but of course when I got older, I lost touch with them and my mum stopped taking me.
When you were taken to live with your granny Sybottom,
yeah,
your mum must have agreed to that happening. Was she happy with that as a way of doing things?
Really, to be honest with you, it's a question I'm very hard to answer. I should imagine she didn't want to lose me. I hope so, anyway. But she had to earn a living. Now, the story that, as I have been told, it went to court for compensation for me now, and she got £300. And the tale that's been told to me, and I can't guarantee this being true, is that when it went to court, the judge had asked if my mother had a trade, and she was a seamstress, and she could earn a living as a seamstress. And the solicitor for my mother said that she couldn't earn a living because she had to look after me. And he said, well, can't her mother look, my grandmother look after me? And the solicitor had to tell him that my grandma had a cripple of a daughter that had to be looked after as well, so that difficult. And he said she could earn a living sewing at home, did the judge or whatever it was. And he said she needed a sewing machine, and he wanted her to have a handle sewing machine. And the solicitor said she couldn't earn a living with that. She'd need at least a treadle machine. And there was a little bit of an alteration between the judge and the solicitor, and the court informer nearly got sent down for contempt of court. And it was dribbled out to my mother that she got enough money to buy a sewing machine, and the rest of the money will be doled out to my mother at 10 shilling a week for her and 5 shilling a week for me. And she had to have a day off work once a month to trail from Leeds to Wakefield to draw the money.
So she had to go to work, basically.
She had to go to work.
To earn enough.
And then...
And where did she stay living? Did she stay living with his antagonist?
No, she got a house downstairs after that, down Plevna Street. But she was with her working. She didn't get home until 6 o'clock at night. And she used to do private sewing at home. So I was left with my grandmother. So up to the age of about 13, I only saw my mother roughly half an hour a night, as she had her tea at my grandmother's. And I saw her on Sunday. She used to see to me and the auntie over the cripple when my grandma went out. I love my mum. I still do. There are lots of hang-ups. One of the hardest hang-ups were if you went anywhere, same as they asked you where your father works, and you had to tell them he was killed out, but and they'll give you a sly look as much as that's your tale. You know, making out you. It was as if you were telling a lie because you hadn't got a father at all. You were a bastard. Several times it really cut at bone. One was a teacher I had at Whitwood Tech. I was 13 at the time, and he made my life a bloody misery, to be honest with you. If I'd had a father, they'd have killed him. My mother, every week, she always had a bunch of flowers, which she would take on a Saturday, bring them in on a Saturday, and she would take them to grave. And then I used to have to go to Oulton every Sunday with this bunch of flowers to my dad's grave, and we used to keep it clean, and I used to go on my own. I mean, you could in them days as a kid, like, you know, you could go. We go in there, I met my Uncle Len, and I used to call at his house now and again, and he took me to see my granny Elizabeth.
And what about being brought up with your granny and her family then? What was that like?
Oh, they were wonderful. I was rotten with lads were at home at that time. The only two of them married, Albert and David. But Walt, Harry, Jack and Ernest at home, and it would come Christmas, it were who could get me the biggest present, and I was the baby brother. Yeah, they were great to me.
And what did they all do? Did they work down the pit or did they work somewhere else?
None of them ever went down pit from school. There were one finished up down pit after he came out of army after war, Ernest, Uncle Ernest. He was a machine man at Newmarket Silton. The others worked different trades and that, plumbing and anything that they were going at that time. It was work where you could find it before war, you know.
So what happened to you then? You grew up in Sturton and presumably you went to school there.
Yeah.
What happened when you left school? Where did you go after school and what did you do?
I went to Whitwood Tech. I was going to go into engineering. And I went in, but I'd also fancy for Navy, and I went in Navy, like, you know. I came out when I was 21, and I got married and came over to Pontefract. I'd met a Pontefract girl, and I married a Pontefract girl, and I went down the mines. I went to mines when I came out of the Navy, like I worked at Newmarket Silks and did my first training there. And then I came over and I worked at Prince of Wales, and I've moved all over to different pits
and
up and down.
Did you not have any reluctance to do it, given what had happened to your father?
No, only thing it had for me, to be honest with you, I never thought I'd live much more than 13. I don't know why, it was just a thing after I got to 30-odd. I always expected to get the hammer any time, you know. Getting to 79 now, I'm amazed I've managed it this long.
And given now what you know about your father, Were there any events that happened to you down the pit that sort of bring back memories of what it must have been like for your father?
No, not as explosions. I've been in accidents down mine and what have you. You know, a gob's flushed and got me up to waist with it running like shell and pulled me out. And I was in a tailgate and that came in and that bump gave me a bump or two, you know. But no, it's I never thought of explosion or anything like that.
Yeah.
I tried two or three times to come out of mines, and each time I came out, I was drawn back. It wasn't the same working outside away from the mine as it would out mine. You could be more of a man, and you could, you could turn around and tell the deputy what you thought, whereas in private industries, you know, you think the little lords, you know. So
you like work there? You liked working down the pit then? It wasn't.
Well, I never liked work at all, to be honest. I'd love to have been a rich playboy, to be honest with you. But no, it wasn't. It gave me a decent living, you know, and it suited me.
Did you ever go to Waterhaig to have a look at the pit?
No. Funny enough, I had a 27-foot cabin cruiser, and it was moored at Lemonroyd at Marina, and you used to go past it every time I went to the boat. But that's as far as I got to Waterhaig. The one thing I always wanted to do was to go see a man called Mr. Beard. He lived in Methley. He finished up in the ambulance room at Waterhaig, I understand.
And he was in the accident.
And I always wanted to go to see him, to ask him about it. But I could never pick up enough courage to go and knock on his door. I didn't know whether it had upset him or... I've got to be honest with you, I thought it might have upset me as well.
And did you know any of the other families of the Maundrill family or the...
I knew the Leonard and...
Shepherd family.
I didn't know the Shepherd family or any of those. No, I just know Len and Les Maundrill. My mother, every now and again, my mother took me through with her to Mrs. Maundrill's on a Saturday night when it was a very rare occasion, like, but Leonard and Les used to look after me when I went through.
Did they live?
They lived opposite the Pointers.
In Woodlesford?
In Woodlesford, yeah. Leonard, he was in the Navy, he got called up in the Navy during the war. He was on his way, according to form, he was on his way home in 1942. So he must have been coming home on leave. He got washed overboard.
That's all you know.
I know I've got a tin of toffees that he was bringing home for his mother when he come home. I understood the boat, when he got washed overboard, were... like a picket boat, but bringing them off ship to shore. I think that's where it happened, right, you know.
Right.